Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. The schedule for the week is on the back of your chimes. Work session is Tuesday at 9 a.m. Junior choir practice is today. After church, practice for the Christmas season. All kids are invited to take part and see Cheryl Keller or Janice Simpson for that. Offering envelopes for 2017. Available right over here. If you haven't picked yours up, please do so. All right, we've got a whole list of announcements this morning. Let me find those. Don Lockerty thanks all the youth for the wonderful card that they had sent. Junior Youth Group Sunday, December 11th. The Junior Youth Group will be meeting on Sunday, December 11th, after church until 3 o'clock. We'll be having pizza, making crafts, and playing games, etc. Hope to see you there. Any questions? See Cheryl Keller or Janice Simpson. Senior Youth Group. He's not here. Sonny wants to take everyone to California, PA, to see the live nativity at the Christian Church in California. So more, that's on December 10th, and more details will be coming later on that. Christmas party, December 11th. The All Church Christmas party will be from 4:30 to 7, with an appearance by Santa. In addition, there will be games and dinner and songs. Come to bring your friends, neighbors. Let's have fun together. Carols by Candlelight will be Wednesday, December 14th at 7 o'clock. Give yourself a present this Christmas by coming to our annual Christmas carol service. In the midst of the business of the season, take some time to remember why it is we celebrate and prepare for the coming of the Christ child. If you feel like you are too busy to come, then this service is especially for you. Congregational meeting and tasting party is Sunday, December 18th. First, we will approve the slate of officers and the budget, and we will eat fabulous foods. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Reverend Chris has some announcements.
Good morning. I just want to follow up on the Carols by Candlelight service. If you've been there before, you know that there's readings of scriptures and poems, and as always, I can use people to read. I've got three or four lined up now, and I need three or four more as well, so volunteer before I call you and guilt you into it, okay? That would be great. So that's next Wednesday, December 14th at 7 o'clock. Also, I want to introduce to you all our new secretary has started this past Thursday and is here with us. Our new secretary is sitting next to our old secretary. I want to welcome Michelle Sanner. If you just stand and raise your hand, please. All right, so... Michelle comes to us from Normalville. It's glad to have you here this morning. And please, after the service, make sure you welcome her and introduce yourself to her. And then I will quiz her on Wednesday over all your names. Thank you.
Chris meant the former secretary, not the old secretary. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 119, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, verses 1 and 2, and please stand.
Grant some captive ears
Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading filed in your chimes. This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the season of joy and peace.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is a time of expectation and preparation.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us pray. Lord God, in this season of Advent, remind us that we have always been your people, a people you created, called, and redeemed. Having love for all people, we thank you for your favor. Remembering our sacred story, may we look for your presence in our world today. Surely salvation is at hand for those who turn to you in love. Surely your glory dwells with us here. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seeing your presence among us now, may we remember that we are an Advent people who wait for your kingdom to be revealed. We long for the day when righteousness will be established and your Advent promise will be fulfilled. Prepare us, O Lord, that we may become your instruments of grace and mercy in this world. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you. Please be seated. This time we will have the lighting of the Advent candle. The one you have been waiting for is on his way. Malachi tells us that the messenger who will prepare us is on the way. We will be shaped into the finest silver and gold made fit for God. Will we be ready for the change? Will we look for our opportunities to grow, stretch, and serve, even when it takes effort and pushes us away from the status quo? Let us pray. God, you created us and restore us. Time after time, you give us opportunity to open ourselves to your presence. Shape us into the person you would have us be. Grant us the patience and the strength to heed the warnings of the prophets, that we may greet with joy the coming of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We light these two candles to light the way into our Advent journey. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. During this season, we traditionally share with others. This is right for us to do, for in so doing, we are validating our faith. We are proving that our religion is more than just words. We are following the teachings of the one whose birth we honor. Our offertory hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 149, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
During this season, we... share with others, this is right for us to do. For in so doing, we are validating our faith. We are proving that our region is more than just words. We are followers, and the teaching of the one was first we honor.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge in the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign for the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and his dwellings shall be glorious. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our invitational hymn this morning, our anthem this morning is the Carol for Advent by our sanctuary choir.
Each year, the child is born again. Each year, some new heart finally hears, finally sees, finally knows love. And in heaven there is great rejoicing. There is a festival of stars. There is celebration among the angels. For in the finding of one lost sheep, the heart of the shepherd is glad. And Christmas has happened once more. The child is born anew, and one more knee is bowed.
Just for a look inside, let us wait.
Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville, the second Sunday of Advent. As we gather this morning, we have news to share with one another, and most of it's good. So let's begin with rejoicing and good news to share. Yesterday, in this church, we had a wedding for Adam Weaver and Bethany Wilson, now Bethany Weaver. And Bethany is the daughter of Sonny Wilson. It was a beautiful day, and Sonny obviously had a lot of fun. And it was a really nice event, and we look forward to hearing stories of the reception and seeing Sonny and congratulating him again. And we want to extend prayers to Bethany and Adam as they begin their life together. I also want to share a story with you about the smallness of our world. Adam, I know, is a welder and does some work with iron, but I didn't know exactly what he did. He works with his dad, and his dad works with Pittsburgh Stained Glass, and as he was here at the wedding, he realized he had done the iron work for those windows behind our choir. He also did work for Wesley when their church caught fire and needed to be redone, and he also did work for Immaculate Conception, at least, to name a few. So it's a small world, and he was showing us all a lot of the work he did on his phone, including some of the windows that he did for Immaculate Conception. Wanda and I, he was showing that to us. So it's a small world, and nice to see how you can just walk into a church, somebody, and you can see their own work sitting up in the windows. And it's nice to have a face behind some of the work that we are so proud of, our windows, to meet somebody who did work on that. Also, my mother had her knee surgery on Friday and went well. She says that she is in more pain now than the last time, so she needs a little bit more prayers this time than the last time. She's going to be going to a rehabilitation center this week, and will probably be there for about 2 weeks. So please continue to pray for my mother, Janice Stillwell. Next week, we'll begin our litany of baby dedications. Next week, we'll dedicate Brody Yutzi, and then the week after that, we'll be dedicating Gabrielle Prankey and also Skyline Chevelle Newcomer. So that would be on the 18th. So look forward to that. A lot of reasons to celebrate, joys to share with the families, and to celebrate before God as well. I also want to emphasize again that our giving tree is over in the Easter room, and we're beginning our food drive. Got a few items in the sleigh there, but of course we want to fill them up and overflow. We'll be collecting through the end of the month, which of course is the end of the year, so that at the beginning of the new year, Community Ministries will be able to restock their pantry at a time when they are greatly in need. And there are tags on the tree if you need ideas, and you can take as many as you want. And of course, anything that you have non-perishable food item to donate would be greatly appreciated. And now I ask, what joys and concerns do we have to share this morning? News to share with one another and petitions to ask to God. Cheryl?
Linda Duggar and I, we went up to see Lena Hoke on Friday, and I think we should keep her in our prayers, and if possible, send a Christmas card to her. I can get the address to you, Reverend Chris, so we can put it in.
We have the address in the office, so if anybody needs the address, ask Cheryl or you can call the office.
It's not called Golden Living anymore. You can still send it to Golden Living.
No, is it not? Because
it has a new name.
Okay, well then give that to me, please.
I will.
Jerry? So we continue to pray for Eugene Swan battling intestinal and heart issues, and we want to pray for a family that's close to Jerry's heart who is in a great deal of turmoil. Pray for them. Mike? Pray for Ed battling an infection, and hopefully he'll be able to stave that off. Are there any others? Roxanne?
One of the people that are in the church said,
Well, that would be great. That would be great. And if you don't know, Ty was our minister for 25 years, from, I think, 71 to 96, and retired, but you don't ever retire as a minister, so we don't get to see him much on Sundays. He lives in Sharon, PA, and is ministering a church there. And I want to thank Sonny and Roxanne for leading the youth group that time, and I know that everyone, including myself, the cards we received were very, very touching. Thank you very much for that, and I hope to see him. Thank you for sharing that good news. Are there any others? Seeing none, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, in this season of Advent, this season of coming, this season of waiting, this time of preparing, remind us that we have always been your people. A people you created, a people you called, a people that you have redeemed. Having love for all people, not just ourselves, we thank you. We praise you. We lift up the gratitude of our hearts for your favor and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we remember your sacred story and we give thanks that it is our sacred story. And may we look for your presence in our world today, knowing that the story is not over. But what has happened in the past comforts us in the present and inspires us to the future. For surely salvation is at hand for those who turn to you in love, for those who turn to you in repentance, for those who turn to you in humility. Surely your glory dwells with us here through Jesus Christ our Lord and your Holy Spirit that abides with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Seeing your presence among us now, Lord, in the face of each person in this room, may we remember that we are an Advent people who wait for your kingdom to be revealed fully and completely. Though it has come near, it is not fully realized, and we long for that day when righteousness will be established and your Advent promise will be fulfilled. In the meantime, Lord, be with those in need. Comfort those who weep. Lift up those who have fallen. Laugh with those who rejoice. And help us to do the same. We remember those who are sick and who are recovering from surgery or awaiting it. We lift them up to you, these names that we have mentioned this morning: Eugene Swan, Ed Piglick, Janice Stillwell. Pray that they will be well and healed and recovered. We pray that they may feel your presence in the time in which they feel most alone. And pray for their families as well, for comfort and strength and sustenance in this time. Lord, we lift up the family that is on Jerry's heart. We know that you know who they are, and we pray that they will turn to you. Not that you will work for them or help them, but that they will know that you are already helping them. But they will listen to you and listen to each other. Learn to forgive and to love and to be a family together. Lord, we rejoice with those who rejoice for the birth of children and dedication of new life. We celebrate with each family. For our former minister, who will always be a minister to us, we rejoice and give thanks that the ministry of the life of the church now may bring joy to him and he may bring joy to us. And we give thanks for the ministry he continues to perform. And for the new marriage, the new life of Bethany and Adam, we celebrate for them and pray in many, many days of joy and happiness together. And we rejoice with Sonny knowing that he is happy in the marriage of his daughter. We pray these things, Lord, as your family and as your church. And remember the members of our church who are not with us here today, whether they are traveling, whether they are sick, or whether they are in the nursing home. In particular, we lift up our dear friend Lena and pray that she may feel connected to us through prayer and through your Spirit. Prepare us, Lord, that we may become your instruments of grace and mercy in the world, that we may, as John the Baptist instructed us, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the world for your coming. Be with us now as we wait. Be with us now as we work. Be with us now as we celebrate. Amen. Children can't wait for the junior sermon, so please come on down.
Attention? There we go. What's your favorite Christmas decoration? Raise your hand. What's your favorite Christmas decoration?
Decorating the tree.
Oh, decorating the tree. That's what your what's your favorite?
My Harry Potter ornament.
Harry Potter ornament. What's your favorite?
Tinsel.
Tinsel. Oh, tinsel makes such a mess.
Candy canes.
Candy canes. Oh, I love candy canes.
Christmas tree.
Christmas tree.
Star.
A star. Where are you going? This way. Okay.
What about you? I do. My Elsa and my Dark McStuffins ornament.
Oh, those are both good ones. Okay, Ruth, what about you?
Well, I like hanging them all up.
You'd like to hang them all up. I like it too. What about if tomorrow morning we get up, we've decorated, and tomorrow morning it's all gone? How about we just cancel Christmas? What do you think?
No!
Okay, so if our favorite decoration is gone, we'll use the rest. What about if those are gone? Okay, let's cancel Christmas. What do you think?
No!
No! No!
No!
You could do with what you have, right? Make paper ornaments. Make paper clips. You can make cardboard ornaments. You can make paper clips. Okay, so let's say Christmas Day, we're going to get up, and we're going to have all these good food to eat, and I open my refrigerator.
This is what I find. Broccoli. Oh, no, some people don't like broccoli, and some people love broccoli.
I hate broccoli.
Well, I'm glad you hear that. Should I feel sad because I don't have all the other stuff? If I don't get what I want, or if I don't see what I want, should I be sad?
No.
No, 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 no,
Second scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. It's found on page 2 of the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible, page 2. We move from the proclamation of the prophet Isaiah now 700 or so years later to the realization of that proclamation through the beginning of the Christmas story. After that, to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When, in those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with the water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, like a lot of you, the Christmas season is not complete without, you know, seeing certain movies and certain TV shows, and the one for me that I like the most is A Christmas Story. The movie that has been around for like 30-some years, but I only saw it about 15 years ago. It's the story of Ralphie and his quest for the BB gun, the Red Ryder BB gun with the compass and the stock, based on the Gene Shepherd radio show and writings. I love that movie so much, and this year I finally got to go and live my dream. I got to go to Cleveland. I got to see the Christmas Story house. See, the house that the movie was filmed in is in Cleveland. It has been remodeled, renovated to look exactly like the set of the movie, and I got to go and to see it and have lots of awesome pictures taken with me with the soap in my mouth and with the electric lamp with the lady's leg, taking it out of the box, and with the BB gun, and with the elf hat, and all the things, you can see them. It was a joy. It's just one of those fun things to relive and to experience. And that, one of the reasons that I like the movie is because it reminds me of the joy I had waiting for Christmas morning, and for things to happen, and for things to be exactly as I wanted them to be. But a lot of times Christmas morning comes, and in that movie, there was no, at that, on Christmas morning, there was no BB gun. Instead, there was a pair of pajamas of in the shape of a pink rabbit costume. Pink rabbit pajamas from his aunt. Can there be any greater disappointment Christmas morning than wanting a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock and getting pink rabbit pajamas? On Christmas, the day when Santa comes and gives us our heart's desire, or that's what it's supposed to happen, the day when all our dreams are supposed to come true, the day we waited for 365 days, it could be a little disappointing if things don't happen exactly how we expect them. I know what is on my children's list. They wrote it before Thanksgiving. I know what is required for Christmas morning to be a delightful, joyful morning. When I was their age, grew up in Wheeling, there was a TV show, a local TV show, in which somebody who looked like Santa Claus, I don't know if it was the real Santa Claus, would read the list that children would write to him of all the things they wanted And on that show, he seemed to imply that they would get those things. And as I grew up later on, I started to feel sorry for the parents of those children, because he set up expectations that if they were not met on December 25th, he was not going to have to deal with the ramifications. Somebody else was going to. Well, now I understand. If you see Santa Claus reading your list on TV, you start to expect that something is going to happen when Christmas comes. You start to feel as if that is going to be guaranteed. And so you can see how it might be easy to get disappointed on Christmas Day. You can see how it would be easy for a child. You can see how it would be easy for somebody for whom Christmas is just about the gifts or the presents. But you can also see how it can be easy for us as well. For we want so many things. Many things that are physical, many things that are material, but we also want so many things that are spiritual, and so many things that money can't buy. And we can be like the classic Dennis the Menace cartoon, where we sit on the floor surrounded by gifts and toys and wrapping paper and look up and simply say, "Is that all? Is that all there is?" I have to think, after reading about the first Christmas again, as we do every year, that many people felt that way. We waited for Christmas for 365 days. They had waited for Christmas for about 700 years. From the beginning of the time of the prophets, well, let's say before that, God had tried different things to restore his people, to bring the people into reconciliation with God. There was the law, there was the Sabbath, the commands. Then there were kings. The people wanted the kings. God said, "You don't know what you want," but he gave them kings. Before that, there were judges, and then afterwards, there were the prophets. And in the time of the prophets, God began to talk about the restoration of Israel. And in that time, the idea of a Messiah took hold. Somebody that God would send. The anointed of God, who would be the one to bring back not only the restoration of Israel, but in many people's belief, the restoration of the world, when the lion would lie down with the lamb and a child would lead them. That's a pretty big list of things to want for Christmas. And so the prophets talked about this, and they spoke of it. And the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi, and it's called "My Messenger." That's what Malachi means. And Malachi said that the great and terrible day of the Lord will come. And that's how the Old Testament ends, is that this promise is there, and just leaves it hanging. And Malachi is about 500 years before the birth of Jesus. So in the meantime, there's all this history. And we know the story of Hanukkah. That takes place in that time period when the Jewish people revolt against the Greeks and they restore their temple. But it's about 500 years since the promise that Elijah would come and lead the way for a Savior before it finally happens. And of course, it does not happen as exactly how they expected it to happen. People wanted peace on earth. They were tired of wars and fighting wars. They were tired of being conquered by other nations. They wanted freedom and independence. They wanted peaceful lives. They wanted goodwill towards all. They wanted enough to eat, place to sleep, clothes to wear. They were sick of stealing and cheating that went on, even in the city of God. They wanted God to recreate the world as it had been intended. They wanted David or some descendant of David, his father Jesse, the line of Jesse, to come to them and bring back those glory days as God had promised them. And they did not get everything on their Christmas wish list. Perhaps God started shopping late. Maybe peace on earth was longer in stock. Maybe God had ordered goodwill, but it got lost in the mail. Possibly God went to the store to get some freedom, but some frantic, crazy person wanted it more and beat them to it. We don't know what happened, but God was only able to fulfill the last item on their Christmas wish list. The wish for a Messiah. A descendant of Jesse. A descendant of the great King David. And even that wasn't exactly how they wanted it. So if you can imagine then, if you've got this wish list and on top of it is the red wire to Beaver gun with the compass and the stock and about 10 other things, and you don't get the other things, you don't get the football, and you don't get the Zeppelin, and you don't get the train, but you do get the BB gun, but it's the wrong brand and the wrong color, and it just doesn't work the way you expected it to. And also, actually, you have to assemble it without any instructions. You can see how you'd be disappointed and confused and perplexed on Christmas morning. And that is essentially the case for the people of Israel on the birth of Christ. You can't help but feel their disappointment. The Bible only mentions a few people's reactions to Jesus' birth. They all understand the good news. But I have to think that for the large masses, Christ's birth was met with a yawn. And we see this in the rest of the Gospels. Christ's life was met with anger and rage, confusion, disappointment, and eventually, by many people, betrayal. Even if they believed that he was the Son of God, even if they believed he was the descendant of David, he wasn't doing things the way that they thought he should be doing them. He was with the wrong people. He was saying the wrong things. He was going about it all wrong. And that's later on, when we get to the passage we've read in Matthew, where Jesus is grown. What about when Jesus comes as a baby? They finally get the Messiah. What's he going to do? He's not even ready yet. It's 30 more years of waiting. The coming of God's anointed was to bring about the peaceable kingdom, as Martin Luther King called it. He was to be a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his root, and he would come to destroy the wicked, to cause the wolf to live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. But we know that his dwelling was anything but. He was born in a manger surrounded by animals. So many hopes, so many expectations. And beside the few people who came to worship the Christ child, the wise men, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, most people probably saw the gift that God had left beneath the tree and said, is that all there is? Is that really all there is? A baby and nothing more. But we have the privilege of knowing that that wasn't all there was. We have the privilege of looking back on this story 2,000 years later, and we know the boy grew to be a man. And though his life was short in the eyes of the world a failure, the effect he had on the world extended far beyond the reach of those 30 or so years, far beyond the reach of those 100 or so miles, far beyond the reach of those 12 or so disciples. 2,000 years later, we are the root of Christ. For as Isaiah had promised, the root of Jesse came and also went, and now the root of Christ remains to keep the root of hope alive. For who is the root of Christ? You are. I am. All those who gather in his name are. The roots that have grown from the trunk or the branch. Kind of doing it backwards, but in many ways that's how it works. Doesn't make sense that we humans can be the sinful root of a divine stump, but that's how God chose to work. For if God can become incarnate in this world and walk in it, then what need does God have for us? It can be discouraging to know that God has placed the kingdom in the hands of mere mortals, fallible mortals, people who fall short all the time. Who are too often concerned with themselves, too often concerned with what they need from God and what they can do for God, who too often fight with one another, who too often scapegoat one another and attack people for their differences to build his kingdom. It can be discouraging, confusing, perplexing. It can also be challenging, comforting, and inspiring. It should give us hope to know that God thinks so much of us that God chose us to help in this awesome task. For as we wait for the coming of Christ, this Advent, the fires of hope are rekindled, and we are more aware now than ever just how much we still hope for His Christmas. Every year, we don't just look for presents under the tree, we look for signs of the kingdom in the world. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Every Christmas, we long for the coming of God into the world, but we know that it begins with God coming into our hearts. And we pass the light of the world like a candle, one flame at a time. And so it should give us hope that even though the Son of God is no longer with us physically, still He is in the world. Still the world is not God forsaken. Far from it. God has placed His presence in our hearts that we may carry it forth and spread the light of the world at a time of year that is the darkest. Do you want peace from war and violence? Do you want peace of mind and heart? Then God says, I will help you create it. I will be with you as you share it. I will inspire you to extend it to your neighbor, to your friend, to your enemy, to the person who is different from you in the most dramatic way possible. Do you want goodwill to all? Then God says, start with yourself. Do you want the peaceable kingdom for Christmas this year? Then God tells us, do not expect it from me. I have created it. Do your part to bring it about. When we get down to it, down to the root of hope, you can find that hope in and of itself makes little to no sense at all. For hope goes against reason. It is the opposite of experience. It is the last shot for the truly desperate. It doesn't make much sense to hope in a sad world. But lest you lose all hope, remember that what God does doesn't make much sense. It really never has. God has always chosen the least likely person. God has always picked the younger over the older. God has always picked the outsider over the insider. And God has come to the world in a child, not the form of a great king or warrior. Create the heavens and earth from nothing? That sounds crazy. Create a nation and a people from two old nomads? That's silly. Choose an old, stammering person who killed somebody to lead those people out of the most powerful nation in the world? That is nuts. Send a child to save your people. That makes no sense. And everything God does, it seems, is nonsense. And if you think about it, Christmas is also filled with nonsense as well. Cover your house with colorful lights at the darkest time of the year? That's a little weird. Cut down a tree and stick it in your living room? That's even stranger. Spend your time and money on presents for others? That's ludicrous. Hope against hope? Yet again, for the wolf to lie down with a lamb? Despite what you see on your TV screens and read in your papers? That's insane. But we should all hope for things that don't make sense. After all, if we all hope for, nothing more than a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock, and when we finally got it, what would that be? It would be great for a while. We'd play with it for a while. And we'd break it. Or, if you're like my kids, you'd stick it in a toy box, you'd forget about it till next year, then when your mother cleans out that toy box to get ready for new presents, you see it, you're like, hey, I forgot about this. It's Christmas all over again, but, next week you'd put it back in the toy box, and you'd forget about it. If all we hope for are things that we can see, that is all we will get. Let us hope for the things that we cannot see. Let us hope for the things that we cannot touch. Let us hope for the things that we have never seen before. Because hope is the best thing there is. At its very root, hope still exists, even when our optimism has failed. For when Christmas comes and goes without goodwill and peace on earth, still we will hope, for we will know in our hearts that this is not all there is. Let us hope for more than we can see more than we can know, and more than we can do. And maybe this year we will get it. Amen. The community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 162 in the Chalice Hymnal. What Child Is This?
The scripture of the root of Jesse comes around, I always think of plants and the ways in which they really make me think of God, that, you know, in March they look like they're dead, they'll never come back, and then 3 weeks later or so they start to happen. But, you know, we know that many of them are supposed to do that, so it's always amazing and yet not surprising. But occasionally something like that happens when you're not expecting it. For instance, I have a lime tree, and lime trees are perennials so long as you don't grow one in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But I've been doing successfully for the last 10 years or so, and I stick it outside from the spring, and then sometime around November I put it into my dining room. And last year I covered it with lights for Christmas in December, and that was great, and I enjoyed it. And every night I would go and plug it in and unplug it, but I didn't also water it. So a month later, at the early part, well, after Epiphany, so, you know, January 7th or so, I go to take the lights off and realize, oh, I have not watered this plant since Thanksgiving. You get busy at Christmas time. Don't act like it doesn't happen to you. So when I took the lights off the lime tree, the leaves came off too. And it looked like it was finished. So I watered it as, well, then I started watering it, I started flooding it in January. But it still looked terrible, and I figured it was done. But at my father-in-law's advice, I cut it back, cut it down to almost nothing, to a stump. I stuck it outside, and now it is better than it has ever done. So this year I'm going to remember to water it. But I think of this scripture because in my life I know that when my faith is arid and dry, God can still not only refresh it, but even when it seems like nothing can grow, God can make a root grow. And if there's just a little root, from that can come a little branch, and from that can come another. And before you know it, it can be better than even than before. The Jewish people remember the great tragedies of their faith, the Exodus, the Holocaust, the pogroms. They remember these things not to wallow in the sadness or despair, but to remember that though tragedies came, God delivered them as a people. And so if God could deliver them from these horrible things in the past, God can deliver them from whatever they're experiencing now and whatever they may experience in the future. The faith of their past nurtures the faith of their present and inspires the faith of their future. Let it be the same for us. For as we come together in this time of year, we remember that God sent His Son when things seemed darkest, and I would argue much darker even than what seems to us in our life or in our world. And then also when we come to this table, we remember that in the darkest moment of Jesus' life, the night when He was betrayed, God did the greatest thing for Him, for you, and for me. Each time we feel dry and parched, each time our faith seems withered and dying, let us remember what happened at this table 2,000 years ago and what happened in that manger 2,000 years ago, and remember that hope can take root in our heart again and bloom like never before. Now let us pray.
Dear Lord, we wait in hope and expectation for Christmas, the time to celebrate Christ's birth and to remind us of the blessings that the Christmas season brings. Let us take the time from the busyness of the Christmas season and troubles all around us to step back and enjoy the blessings that you have given us. Peace, hope, joy, and love. And may we share these blessings with others through the coming year. We can find these blessings if we open our hearts to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he gave thanks for it, he broke it, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This bread is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
and now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 153, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. We'll sing verses 1 and 4, and let us stand as we sing.
That you all don't mind staying for just two more minutes, because we have good news. Now, two people who have been worshiping with us for a long time have decided to make it official and fully join into the membership of our congregation. First, we have Greg Metzger, who comes to us from Greenwood Methodist Church in Collinsville, and Tanya Burley, who comes to us from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Jeanette, and they both wish to fully become members of our congregation in our fellowship. And so I ask you, Greg, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? You take him to be your Lord and Savior, and is it your desire to be a member of our congregation? Tanya, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you take him to be your Lord and Savior, and is it your desire to join your son in full membership of this congregation? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts of Advent, the gifts of Christmas, the gifts of these two who have worshipped with us for many years and now fully and completely joined the membership of our congregation. Help us to nurture their faith and to teach them, and help them to nurture our faith and teach us. May we learn together, grow together, worship and love you more together than we did before. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you all help me welcome enthusiastically our two newest members? I invite you to follow me with me into the narthex so we can greet and celebrate together. And now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Go now with the peace of the Lord in your heart, burning like a flame, but do not leave it there. Pass that peace on from like candle to candle, that the flame may ignite the whole world in a light that will never go out. Amen.